Soul Shakedown. All right. That is Bob Marley starting us off on this Sunday morning. It is the final week of It's 8:09 right now. It's time for the Carol Cox Show. Carol has some guests in the studio this morning. And let's go live to Carol.
Well, we were live, right, with all of that good. That's the African anthem. Yeah, so always really good. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. I'm sitting here, and I have Pam Davis with Animal Advocates, Inc., and on the line we have Jennifer Kishimori of the Cat Friends and also the Oahu SPCA. Some of you may have heard recently that was the matter of the bunny paying, the paying family who had a number of pets that they were caring for, and she had met an untimely death or passed, and so Jennifer and her organization and many other volunteers jumped in and participated and rescued, and we'll talk about that and some of the other issues, things that she is experiencing, and maybe you, the public out there, can offer a hand, offer some advice, or what have you. And good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
And Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning to you.
All righty. Well, tell us what's going on with the animals. How are they doing, and are you finding homes, and is everything, all the bumps in the road, been smoothed out, or what's going on?
Well, the animals that we received from Mr. Peng are doing terrific. We're actually sterilizing 20 of the dogs today. We have a good majority of them into foster homes or adopted out. The cats, we only have a few that have been adopted, so we still have quite a few cats that we're looking for foster homes or permanent homes, hopefully.
I see, and you're going to sterilize or neuter, spay-neuter program, right?
We're doing that actually through a private vet for the dogs.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the Humane Society of Hawaii, or Hawaiian Humane Society, involved in this venture with you?
No, they are not. We did. I took in one cat to be sterilized there, and they asked us not to bring any other cats from the paying residents to be sterilized through their feral cat program.
And did they offer an explanation, or what was the reason?
They did not. They said it was under a criminal investigation.
I see. So you also founded, now recently, the Oahu SPCA. Did I get that right?
Correct. We became a nonprofit in April of this year. And Mr. Pang, we spoke the day his wife passed away, and he asked if he could surrender his animals to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could care for them and hopefully find them home.
I see. And how about volunteers? Are you still looking for volunteers in that manner?
We can definitely use volunteers. We are so grateful all the people that have come out. All of us are volunteers here, and we're here 7 days a week, 24 mm-hmm. hours a day, basically, caring for all the animals. And it's more than just, you know, feeding and watering and cleaning the litter boxes and such. I mean, we have tons of laundry to do and things of that nature as well.
So can you tell the public out there what things that you need and what you would ask them if they could assist, what they could provide? Food, money, what?
Definitely money, food, cleaning supplies, and also if they can provide be a foster home, just so we don't have to have this shelter situation. This is solely an emergency shelter. Luckily, the Hunt Development Group was kind enough to let us use this building on an emergency basis, and mm-hmm. we've extended our lease for quite some time now, just because it's taking a while to get these animals placed.
So can you give us a contact phone number, website, or email? How will people get in touch?
The best way to get in touch with us is through our website. It's oahuspca.org. And on that website, you can offer to volunteer, foster, adopt. We have forms to print out through that website, and has phone numbers there to call depending on if people are interested in volunteering or fostering.
Well, now, there are some of us out here just learning the computer and just recently recognized that they were invented. So how would they get in touch with you?
They can call my number, which is 226-4561.
Okay. Well, Pam Davis has a question for you. Or a few questions.
Jennifer, hi, this is Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, I just wanted to say, you know, great work. Thank you so much, and what a fantastic job you did. And just for the public out there, they may know, but why did you feel, or why did Mr. Pang call you guys as opposed to the Humane Society? There's a question of euthanasia.
It was. He has expressed concern in, I guess, 95. He said that they were raided and animals were confiscated, and most, if not all of them, were euthanized, and he did not want that to happen again. So I wasn't privy to what happened in the past, but that's what he shared with me, and he was concerned about his animals being safe and not euthanized.
Because you're running a no-kill operation, yeah?
Right. We actually hadn't formed a shelter at that point. We just become a nonprofit group, and our main focus will be to sterilize and also to foster out animals. We don't really want to be a shelter per se, but we want to get animals into homes and reduce euthanasia through mass sterilization of dogs and cats.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
You know,
sure.
Jennifer, just last Friday night, about 9:50 p.m., I got some information that, and I hadn't spoken to you, and just what last night late, I was able to connect with you. I had learned that that the Humane Society here, Hawaiian Humane Society, I should say, because there's a the Humane Society of the U.S. is also here, but the mm-hmm. Hawaiian Humane Society, or Hawaii Humane Society, had issued an order or banning you from participating in the spay-neuter program, which you have participated in for some years. And I don't know the exact number of cats you have taken to them to have them spayed, neutered, but can you tell us a little bit about that? And I did, in fact, confirm with sources there at Hawaiian Humane Society saying that, yes, they had put you on a blacklist and that you were not welcome to come there and participate in a program that you'd participated for years. Can you tell us some details?
Well, I've been spaying and neutering cats through their feral cat program since the late 90s. We started a nonprofit called Cat Friends in 2002, and we fixed, roughly like last year, we fixed 2,500 cats, and that's both through the Hawaiian Humane Society's feral cat program as well as private vets that we use. Mm-hmm. I was not privy to the information that I was banned until this elderly woman called me yesterday saying that she had spoken with Humane Society and they asked who was assisting her, and she said Jennifer Kishimori was helping her trap and transport. They said if I brought the cats in, they would not accept them. And this lady tried to explain, these are not my cats, they're her cats that I'm helping. She has a cat colony mm-hmm. in Pearl City. And they just said that they wouldn't accept them. So she didn't understand. They didn't give her information. I tried to clarify what was going on with one of the vet techs there. And she just, she said because we had referred them, the Oahu SPCA, that is, referred them to our attorney when they said there was a criminal investigation regarding Mr. Pang. Mm-hmm. And we referred them to our attorney as opposed to dealing with them directly. And they found that adversarial.
So let me try and break this up. You're saying that what you normally do is pick up cats that you take for a spay-neuter program.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many people out there going, my God, we got enough cats in this world, and why would we do that? Well, first of all, no one is doing anything other than the volunteers. The state
Correct.
Doesn't have an active program in managing the cats, only in the refuges if they can do that, number one. Number two, there are volunteers, and so everyone's standing back so the public would know that we'd have a lot more cats because cats breed. And unless
Correct.
The volunteers were out there like yourself, trapping and neutering, we could all stand back and take the position that the state does and the federal government does and say there's too many cats but never do anything. And so at least your program is, along with many others who are out there trapping and neutering and spaying and releasing them back. So
mm-hmm.
in this case, now you, I know personally that you transport for a lot of, many of the elderly people and people that can't afford it, and you volunteer and pay mm-hmm. for this. So this is something that is available to the public through the Hawaiian Humane Society, but they won't allow you. And as I said, I confirmed that last night, again with several sources. So the thing, what I want to emphasize with the public out there is this. You're being retaliated against, and clearly, for exercising your rights. And that is, you were told by the Humane Society that you were going, there was a criminal investigation. And so you elected, which was smart of you, when someone say there's a criminal investigation, can you open up and let me investigate you or whomever? The wisest thing to do is to go seek legal counsel.
Yeah.
And in your instance or your case here, so the public would know, you just simply said, please, being that it is a criminal investigation, please contact my attorney. And you gave them the information. So as a result of you exercising that with caution, they now turn around and punish you and then ostracize or blackball you. I don't know what the public know about that or what they think about
it. I personally don't understand it. It had nothing to do with Cat Friends, and I virtually trap every night or most nights a week and transport cats to and from to be sterilized.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, I help the people that are disabled, elderly, you know, low-income, people that don't have transportation. If there's mass sterilization involved, a lot of people can't fit, you know, 15 mm-hmm. cats in their car like I can.
So
it's unfortunate that we're going to have more cats on the island because they're not allowing me to participate in the feral cat program.
Now, you know, Pam, in this situation, the Humane Society receives a couple of million dollars to perform certain contractual needs with the city, right? Now, it's not clear to me if it's the spay-neuter program, but they do get a really cheap price to rent the city lands, which their property is situated on. But, Pam, they have a large contract, right?
Yes, we have a copy of their contract, which was entered into on August 4th of 2008. And according to that, the amount of the contract is $2,358,125. And you, Jennifer, are doing all of this work, and you don't have a contract with the city, do you?
We receive no city, state funding at all. We're all volunteers. In fact, we held a yard sale yesterday to raise money. So, you know, that's how we raise our funds, is private donations and yard sales or car washes.
Hey, you know, Pam and Jennifer, I'd like to ask this question that's burning for me to ask this. And this is my, it's a question, and I'll ask it too of the Humane Society. Is this about turf? I notice you have founded this organization, and I have shared with the public on other occasions that I went to Councilwoman Ann Kobayashi and asked her. She was kind enough to introduce a bill to change city law that originally only allowed the Hawaiian Humane Society to receive a contract. That was in our law. It stated that only the Hawaiian Humane Society. So it prevented and kept other people out that would be willing to seek contract or provide a service. And so the procurement practice. So Ms. Kobayashi actually introduced that and it passed. So do you think that this is a turf issue? I get the sense that it is. Now, unless, and by the way, Pam Burns, I'm sure you're listening, or some of your underlings, or we sent out an email to all to say that we would be on talking of this. So if you're listening, you're welcome to come in. I'll give you the full hour, 2 hours, whatever. I want to be fair in giving access, but I don't, the fair and balance, I'll let you do the balancing. But you're welcome. I extend an invitation to the Hawaii Humane Society free of charge. So, but anyway, Jennifer, what does this leave you with now? Does this impact your program? I mean, you say you're holding yard sales to go out and do what they're getting $2 million in big funds from other campaigns. Now, I don't know, as I say again, I don't know what portion of their monies is part of the contract, even if spay neuter for cats is under that contract. But again, they are situated on city lands and benefiting from that. So where does that leave you?
Well, I don't know either if their feral cat program is through the contract or not. However, all of us have been volunteers for years and years, taking our time, our own money to spay and neuter cats and transport, paying for gas, paying for the microchips. Honestly, the Oahu SPCA, our intention was to help the west side of the island. The population here is growing dramatically, and we wanted to help the animals on this side, and our hope was to collaborate with the Humane Society and work together so we're helping more animals. And unfortunately, it appears that it's becoming adversarial from the get-go when we wanted to help more animals.
Right. Now, that tugs at my heart there when we hear that you simply told someone that when they approach you, we're conducting a criminal investigation. They don't tell you if they're investigating you. They don't tell you if you're going to be offered immunity, if they're going to, or, you know. But then, in turn, you go to an attorney to have the attorney who's skilled at this and has the knowledge to speak on your behalf. They get mad and then state that you are being adversarial to their, to the community program. That's rather sickening.
I don't understand it. But also, our attorney had been on property at Mr. Pang's. She had spoken with him and had done videotaping. So she was very familiar with what was happening. So it seemed more appropriate that if it's a criminal investigation, that we refer all questions and inquiries to an attorney who's skilled at and understands the law.
Mm-hmm. So what we have here, clearly for me, I believe, and I'll say this, this is a turf war. The Hawaiian Humane Society has been the golden child and no competition. You found this organization, which is a good organization. The ASPCA has done great work. And again, I mean, so by you being here, some may view it as competition for donations or endowments or whatever. You know, when someone passed, they may sign a will or what have you to your organization or to others, because people love pets. And it's unfortunate that a city contractor, who, by the way, now, their ability to investigate and do criminal investigation is granted to them by the Hawaii Revised Statute of Honolulu, the law here. So this brings in a problem, I believe. And for example, I'll share with the public, and Pam, you can jump in. The reason I jumped to this conclusion and draw this conclusion on turf war, I investigated the practices of eating dog and killing dogs. There was a scheme where people were taking dogs from people that would steal them or what have you, and they would steal them and then take them, sell them, and this person would raise them, butcher them out, and sell them. Well, I actually did video, documented it. You can go to EnviroWatch.org and see the story on Coco, and where this dog, I rescued him. Before I made it back, and I was going to buy his sister under the pretense that I was going to take him and butcher him. Well, somehow the Humane Society got word that I was going to be exposing this. So instead of assisting, calling me up to assist, which they've never called anyway, they went and released a news release that said that there was a person in a white van selling dog meat.
Yeah, and I recall that.
And in turn, triggered an investigation, and Letha Dakaris of the Honolulu Police Department calls me in to interview me, right? And yet, the Hawaiian Humane Society, under, quote, an investigation, never have to this day contacted me. But when I contacted them, they say it's okay for people to take dogs and kill them as long as they shoot them in their head and they die quick.
It was quick and painless,
yes.
I remember.
And I have a recording of that, so if anyone want to take issue with it, you know, see me at the dog pound. But anyway, Jennifer, is there anything you would like to ask the public? And by the way, the public, if you want to call in, 524-1080, and you can pick this up also at podcast, carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And again, Jennifer, give your website, aspca.org.
It's oahuspca.org. We're not affiliated with ASPCA nationally. We're just a local organization, oahuspca.org. And my hope is that we can just work collaboratively, all of the various animal groups, including the Hawaiian Humane Society, to help more animals. It should not be a political, financial struggle. It should be helping the animals. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
Yeah. So you, what do you need? Again, say it clearly and loud. What do you need from the public or would like to ask the public?
We would love to have volunteers with Oahu SPCA. We need foster homes. We need people to adopt both dogs and cats. And any financial support is greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm. So I think we have a call. But this is, it's you guys got a Kathy on the phone. Good morning, Kathy. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jennifer, what's going to happen to all the animals that you have spayed and neutered through the Humane Society that are microchipped to you? What are they going to do when they're turned in? Because we know how animals are turned in. What's going to happen? Are they going to euthanize them because you're banned so you can't come and pick them up?
Honestly, I don't know. I tried to I emailed Pam Burns, did not get a response. I tried to call again yesterday and was told that she would get back to me. I don't know the answer to that, and that it horrifies me, the thought, if they do not call me to pick up or allow me to pick up animals that I've sterilized. I've been doing this since the late 90s, as I said.
So the public...
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals registered to me.
So let's explain to the public so they don't go away understanding what you're saying. When you take an animal in, a cat in, mm-hmm. they neuter it, and that... prevent it from giving birth, or it's a birth control in a sense, and in turn they place a microchip in, and that microchip is registered with your name and phone number and contact information. So if I were to be walking down the streets and see a cat in trouble, or that I trap and take him to the Humane Society is able to scan that and see Jennifer's phone number and name. And so, Kathy, this is what you're worried about, is that the Humane Society may in turn, once they see Jennifer Kishimura, that take that animal and euthanize it because they don't want, because she was exercising her right with cautions on a criminal investigation, quote, criminal investigation, they now see that as an adversarial role.
Right, and we have no way to know what cats are turned in if they don't contact their cat friends or Jennifer.
So, and all that the probably some of the taxpayers' money, either co-mingle or something. I don't. It's never been clear. So, well, thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Bye.
But anyway, Pam, you've had an experience here recently with the Humane Society on the cat. We'll call her the cat lady, but her name is Kathleen. Real quickly, can you share? I want to convey to the public just what we have entrusted in with this contractor, the Hawaiian Humane Society. We see them on TV with the chocolates for pets and all the cute things. But there, I know, because I also participated in investigating. There's an article in 2003, I think, or maybe earlier, more recent. The Honolulu Weekly did a story on Helter Shelter.
Right, the front page article.
Yeah. So this isn't just one incident, and I just made reservation for cats to have neutered, and because I don't believe I should just sit back and complain that they're going to eat the birds, and then I don't do anything. So to control the population, I registered 2 weeks ago. When it came time to show up with the cats, they didn't have my name on there, but confirmed that I was there. So maybe it's Carol Cox on the phone, and therefore we'll tell him he has reservations, but when I arrive there, when people get there to deliver them,
well,
I'm not on the list.
You do have to wonder. And just like Jennifer, she stated that she was hoping to work with the HHS, but quickly found that it became, quote, adversarial. And I found the same thing. We had written to Pam Burns on May 8th of last year, asking for her opinion on the applicability of the existing animal cruelty law as it pertained to the cat lady, we call her. This is a poor lady that is allowed to live on the sidewalk. There's human feces, cat feces. She hoards the animals. There's cruelty. There's fecal matter. I mean, it's sad. We have a soft spot in our heart for the homeless as well, but she's breeding cats. Anyway, the thing is that we offered our assistance, and Pam Burns never responded to our request. We later asked for records, and she denied that as well. So we had to file an appeal with the Office of Information Practices. It is, as Jennifer says, very adversarial trying to get anywhere with the Humane Society.
Now, you just got this appeal that you filed. You got a ruling from the Office of Information Practices, and real quickly, what did they say?
Well, essentially, you know, they found that because they do work on behalf of the government, they are a government agency, defined as an agency, which means that they are subject to Hawaii's open records law. And so we had requested the documents under the UIPA and were denied. And so now they've been instructed by the OIP to turn over these records, but to date we've received nothing.
And this is the funny part of this. I also had received a couple of years back an opinion, favorable opinion, saying that it had to release the records. And then instead, when you write request records, they turn around and tell you no, and then you have to appeal. So no respect for the law, and yet they approach Jennifer and want to conduct a criminal investigation.
Yes, it's.
So, Jennifer, I don't know, how are you doing with time? Are you? I know you got
to
go.
I actually have to head to the vet shortly. I have about 5 more minutes.
Okay. Well, is there anything else? Is there a number that the public can call to express support for you with the Humane Society? Can you give out the Humane Society number? Or do you?
The Humane Society number is 946-2187. And I hope that people will encourage them to allow me to continue the feral cat program and not punish the animals for something that wasn't related to anything.
And I'd like to offer one bit of advice to those out there that are listening, to say that, well, I now better hide in the hole because Pam is coming. Let me suggest this to all of you. If anybody disrespects, and that applies to all parties, if anybody disrespects the rights of citizens and then quantified as when they exercise their rights against incrimination and what have you, or just being cautious when they're being told there's a criminal investigation and they want to interview you or investigate you, don't go hiding in a hole thinking this will blow over. If you allow this, then tomorrow, it's Jennifer, tomorrow it's you and me and others. So you handle it the way you want to out there. And if you think that you're going to be rewarded by being silent, those of you out there in the cat community or the animal care community that, well, I'm not worried about it, it happened to Jennifer. And here's my warning. It'll happen to you because it's a systemic problem. It's not an individual problem. So take it for what it's worth. And I've met many of you cat lovers out there and cat caretakers. And the shoe may not be on your foot today, but I will tell you, when it does, it'll be tight and you'll be found uncomfortable. And so throw some support, express yourself, come out of the closet, so to speak, and speak up for yourself. Don't allow this. I personally... I'm not going to go into full details of the things that I've experienced, but it's just wrong. But anyway, Jennifer, I appreciate you calling in, and I know you're busy. And when is your program in out there, this thing? Are you up against the wall as far as time?
We are just trying to move all of the dogs and cats into foster homes and adopt them out as soon as we can. But we don't, fortunately, Hunt Development Group has allowed us to use this emergency shelter until we need it. So I don't have a specific end date, but I'd like to get everybody into homes as soon as possible.
Real quickly, can you tell the public, those that might be interested, what is required of them and what's the process, real quick?
We are adopting out. They just need to fill in an application either online at OahuSPCA.org, or they can come in person to fill out an application. And we do home visits to make sure that the animals are working out in their homes. And that would be for both cats and dogs.
What kind of cost would they be incurring?
We are charging $60 for the cats and $100 for the dog.
Okay.
And that actually doesn't even cover our sterilization expenses, but it's just a cost to help recoup some of our money.
So when they get the dog, it will be sterilized?
It will be sterilized and microchipped, and it will be ready to go home. It has any of them that needed medication have medication.
Okay.
And we are treating them with any vet care that's necessary until they are adopted.
And you have a staff or support of professional veterinarians or licensed veterinarians that are screening these animals?
Oh, yes, all of them have been seen by licensed veterinarians, and like today we're going to the animal house. They are doing mass sterilization of the dogs for us at a discounted rate.
Okay.
And they're treated just as well as any other pet dog would be treated.
Well, anyway, I appreciate you calling in and keep us posted. And folks, you heard her. She said she's holding yard sales. That takes time, too, so this is an act of kindness, and if you want to help, just go help. Don't debate it.
Thank you
okay.
very much, Bill.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, that is, every time you don't want to be adversarial to the Hawaiian Humane Society, But you know, just the name itself, we all, humans care for animals in one form or another. I mean, even hunters, for example, I mean, they have their special animal or, you know, whatever, fishermen or whoever. People, human beings have an association with animals. But in this case, when the name Humane Society infers or implies that we're a loving bundle of joy. So if an animal is found to be in distress, the trucks show up, and there is the Hawaiian Humane Society hugging and cuddling. But let's talk about some of the things that the number of animals that... The concern is what? We have spay-neuter, we have we need more education on people not to be releasing the animals. There are issues such as military people departing or being deployed, and they have pets and they leave. Okay. Well, we got an anonymous. I hope that are you there, anonymous?
Yes, I'm here. I don't work for the Humane Society or any society.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Anything the government touches, it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. Look at our health care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, government runs anything. It's for the birds, and it's not for, it's not for the people of Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
It's for the pocketbook.
Uh-huh.
So anything like the Humane Society that's run, you know, that has a contract with the city, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's for years now. I mean, there's been audits done, and the audits showed some serious problems, commingling of funds, unwillingness to produce the records, you know, and we were just handing money and still are handing money to them. And
that's why I don't donate to this government,
mm-hmm.
you know, run, what do you call it? Like the, you know, Hawaii Humane Society,
uh-huh.
or any other government-run contract. I don't donate to them.
Yeah, well,
because it goes to their pocket. Nothing goes to, you know, they only want to make a show on television,
mm-hmm.
or on the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they're doing, like you said, that they're doing this and doing that.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's behind the four walls.
Yeah, we know. It's just getting it out, and you know, that's. That's one of the problems, and hopefully instances such as this where Jennifer Kishimori is experiencing, and I know others now, by the way, that have been kicked out because in one instance they were protesting against the Humane Society. So in other words, a contractor receiving government money to do government business, if you speak out against them, they turn around and take your rights.
Exactly.
And tell you can't come on city property to be afforded the contractual services that the city is giving.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with the state.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get to, like, you know, I don't know if you saw it on television, but, you know, the jobs are not for jobs that are people that live here.
Mm-hmm.
It's for people that live on the mainland.
Yeah.
And all the money goes back to the mainland. It doesn't stay here.
Well,
so
know.
Anything that government runs, forget it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you're saying, but I think we're taking this, and I'm going to say it, and any of you see me driving, take all your tomatoes and throw them at me. But this talk about the mainland coming here and what have you, I want to remind everybody, 90% of the people that I know whose children are going to college now are going off to the mainland. And 90% of those children are going to the mainland, and a large percentage of them are staying there. So I wonder if they were met with this element of, well, you're not local. We only are hiring local. So I caution all of you out there that this rhetoric might just jump up and bite you in the hiney. So it's, you know, we don't want to get too loose with this, because then where do you stop?
Exactly.
So let's, I say that to everybody, and I'll put a bullseye on the back of my car or the front and throw them at me. But I hope that on occasion I have the nerve to tell all of you.
Well, good luck to what you're doing.
Thank you, brother.
And also for Jennifer. Good luck.
All righty, brother.
Okay.
Thank you. Keep listening in. But, yeah, that's, you know, that's something, this local. And I understand what's going on, you know. But we got to be real careful in what this gentleman is saying. Yeah, and when you go in to get a service from the Hawaiian Humane Society, I mean, I've gone and done an investigation on. They have a burner down there. They burn all of the animals that incinerate them, right? Now, what I had raised, and they had violations. Now, why is this an important issue? Well, first of all, you're burning animals, and it's a waste, and it's a air problem, right? Clean air issue. This is right on the freeway, situated above the freeway, and you got residential area there. So this isn't pumping it into the jet stream and sending it away. This is a older type. They don't have the scrubbers and what have you that would be required of some others. And there are violations. And you just recently found documents that they were violating the Clean Air Act?
Yes. Yes, I did. They were not found to be not in compliance with their permit. They have a non-covered source permit for an incinerator there on the property, and they were issued a, quote, informal notice of violation on October 7th of last year. We have obtained records from the Department of Health showing that this incinerator burns 200 pounds of dead animals per hour with a maximum load of 1,200 pounds of animals a day.
Mm-hmm. So there are people down there breathing this, and so they get to go away, and who knows the chemicals that they use, the antibiotics, the pesticides, or, you know, that are used to treat the pets and what have you. And so, you know, what does that present as health-wise? So, you know, and they're lightly regulated. But, you know, back to the cat lady we were talking. Jennifer's situation just kind of grabs me, and I want to gravitate back to it more often because I can't let it go. And I will be contacting the city's customer service office to initiate a complaint, because this is consistent with the treatment that I have experienced firsthand.
Yes.
And, you know, there's no way should we stand by where an individual exercising their rights as a citizen or a taxpayer, participating in something that all taxpayers are allowed to in participating, but she could be singled out because she uttered these words. If there's a criminal investigation of me or whomever, please, I would rather you contact my legal representative, because they're skilled at that, you know. And in turn, they get mad at her and says, well, and by the way, I did, in fact, get a copy of a letter that was, the letter was summarized, that it says, this is quoting Pam Burns, we at HHS feel Jennifer has structured this to be an adversarial relationship, not a collaborative partnership that promotes positive community values. Well, I tell everyone out there, if I were to call Pam Burns, it'll take me 2 days and a year just to be ignored with her. They don't have any responsibility, because, see, they have people sitting high within government, and this is the old school, so to speak, of I'm from this family and you're from this family. And yes. So, but unfortunately, they haven't incorporated in thinking that whatever family they are from, they're working for us. It is our matters that they're handling.
Exactly. They work under a city and county contract.
Right.
And I'm not an attorney, and I don't know, but I would think that denying the public the right to use the facilities or services must be in violation of that contract.
Yeah, so what I think what you should do, anybody, one of the rules, I guess, now, if you want to use their services, of the city services contracted out to the Humane Society, just walk, get your T-shirt or a statement signed that I'm willing to give up my rights to receive city services.
Right.
I'm being facetious, but
yeah. No.
But you know, it's crazy that we would allow this thing to fold, and tomorrow morning you'll see them on TV. And that's the thing. You can get away with some serious crimes, but you know how you can get away with it? Grab an animal and hold it and stand there and stroke it and rub its fur. You can rob the bank, because people love animals, and they won't see past that compassion that you're displaying for this animal. You could be the thief of the century.
Right.
Or the most insensitive person you've ever seen. But if you get that animal there, you know, it's like the game warden with the Bambi. Who could question him, right?
Right.
You know, so you don't look past that. And the thing is, the real facts are, we have problems. We have a system that contracts the people, and that only the Humane Society, as I pointed out earlier, were allowed to get the contract. there was a law that said someone had penciled them in.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you were a painting company, imagine, you'd no need put in for a contract
only
because
Joe's.
Only Joe's painting services would be allowed by law.
Yeah.
Who would ever, you know, and there are other things like that here, but again, you know, while stroking the animal and petting and displaying this love for this animal, you got the whole government behind you, so no other contractors need compete.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, when you have a monopoly like that, I guess you can treat the public poorly.
Yeah. But we're going to keep pounding on them and see what happens. I mean, I don't want to be insensitive to them, and don't want to sound personal, but I've experienced firsthand, and I've investigated them, and I have mounds and mounds of documents that speaks to they need to change their approach.
Yes, they do.
They being the Hawaiian Humane Society. All righty. We've got Norman. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
All righty. How are you?
I know you know my wife, Bonnie.
Yes.
Yes, we're the ones at the focus of attention right now, yeah?
Oh, this is Norman Ping. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine.
Hello, Mr. Ping.
Hi.
Yeah, my condolences. I had spoken to Bonnie just a couple of days, and we were supposed to get together and meet at the Burger King.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, how are you doing? And
I'm doing fine, and I'm listening to your program, and I want to say some stuff about the OSPCA, you know.
Okay.
They're a great organization, and they're, you know, really helpful. And not like the Humane Society. You know, Humane Society is basically geared to make a profit out of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. We tried to get them audited, and we got a lot of interference on that from the city council.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Felix.
Right.
Was,
John,
yeah. He was the one that put a stop to it. And what they did was they only presented certain documents, and they wouldn't let us go into the real audit of everything, yeah?
Right.
And commingling of money and stuff like that.
And that is true. That what you're saying is true. I have the documentation where they wrote and was prolific in their writing to object to the audit and didn't want to release any of the documents to the city.
That's true. That's why we felt that they were not being upfront.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as handling the people's money that they're given by the contract, that that's not a right thing to do. They should open up the books.
Right. And, you know? And now on this other case, now if my memory serves me, you were found not guilty, right?
Yes, my wife was charged for cruelty to animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the case was heard over a period of 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge, Judge Ames, found her not guilty by virtue of what it stated in the Hawaii Revised Statutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, this was a whole big mess, you know, and they came here in 1995 with no intent of helping us.
Right.
You know, they just came here and says, we're going to shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, the thing is that it just became a real, real mess. And my wife, you know, bless her heart, you know, loved the animals and just couldn't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was depressed for quite a while until, you know, she was found not guilty.
And all the animals, not all, but a great majority of them were euthanized, and the Humane Society got great play on the media.
Yes.
And boy, did they skew you. I mean, you're talking about...
Even now.
Court of public opinion is one thing, and the court is another, and they operate, believe it or not, folks, in the court of public opinion, the Humane Society. They will wrap you around a stick, skewer you, tar and feather you, and then at the end, you don't see them come back and say, well, we were wrong, he was found not guilty.
Yeah, they can't hold up to it because they thought they had such a good case against my wife, and when the judge gave his verdict, they were stunned out of their minds, and they came out with a quick... rebuttal to what the verdict was and all that. They said if it was a different judge,
they'd
probably find her guilty. Yeah.
In other words, we didn't get picked the right judge. So anyway, Norman, I got another call on, but you can hold on and keep in touch with us and keep us updated if you don't mind.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing,
okay.
Mr. Kauf, is that what do people expect to find at an animal rescue shelter?
Mm-hmm.
You don't find show dogs. you don't find anything that's A1 shape. These are animals that are normally diseased, sick, unwanted, or even dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you see here is not what you think,
They're not show dogs.
Right? Yeah, they're not show dogs. They're unwanted animals to begin with.
Right.
And people got to remember that. That's what an animal shelter deals with.
Right.
And that's what Jennifer and them are dealing with, and they're helping me out, and I really appreciate their help. They came to help.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey,
thank
you
very much.
Aloha.
No,
Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Carol.
Hey, how are you? Got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you have the whole 2 minutes. Go
permit
for
me
it.
To get this off my chest.
Okay.
Every year, the Humane Society has a sealed bid kind of auction thing at the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. They raise hundreds and thousands of dollars. The men have to show up in tuxedos and the women in formal gowns. And they go down to the Royal and they bid on all kinds of fancy stuff. And they make more money than you can shake a stick at, Carol, every single year. It's called Tux and Tails, is what that event is called. And it just has always burned my okoli.
Yeah, that's one of those things. And they have the chocolate. And then they dress up the dogs. And again, they do serve a purpose, you know, but there are some things they need to iron out.
Yeah, there's just some irony to the whole thing, you know, especially when it's repeated how many animals are destroyed.
Yeah.
And is that on their property right next to the freeway?
That's a city property. And they rent it for a little of nothing. I think $1 a year or something like that.
They have a stack that right on the property.
Right.
There.
That burns right there and
I
puffs out.
So.
Puffs the maggot dragon. Okay. Well.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. All righty. Pam, thank you. And you can come back soon and we'll talk about Animal Advocates, Inc.
Thank you, Carol.
And, folks, thank you for joining me. You can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com and tune in. And next week we're going to talk about some things. Mr. Charles DeJoux, running for congressman, I want to know your opinions about DeJoux being dressed in a military uniform on his official website for Congress. DOD directive says that should not be allowed or occur. All righty. Aloha.
KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.